Tonight, I want to discuss with you about our practice and our everyday life, our everyday activity, our everyday life in terms of good and bad. And how you feel about your life, and if Zazen practice help your everyday life or not, this kind of thing will be discussed this evening. Of course, we Buddhists believe in our innate, complete nature. And when we realize our nature, when we practice Zazen, it is possible for us to understand what is our true nature, not in terms of good or bad nature. When we realize our nature, we say we are according to Dogen Zenji, we are In mourning means, immo is Chinese, and it means that it is a kind of question. It is a kind of interrogative word. Like what or how, and it also means suchness or thusness. It has two meanings. When we are just as we are, and when we find that we are just as we are, it means that when we practice Zazen and stop thinking and stop our feeling of pain or a disturbance, a distraction, then that is Suchness, you know. And when we experience this suchness, then even the pain in your legs is also suchness. And it is another way of experiencing our true nature. So why don't we use this word? Whatever the experience may be, when we realize when we experience our true nature, then whatever the experience may be, that is the another way of experiencing suchness. So not only Zazen practice, but also in this case the experience of suchness. So it is not just Zazen practice, but also whatever we do, that is the experience of real experience of our true nature. And so whatever, you know, in this case we do not point out some special experience, but that is why we use interrogative words, whatever it is, or what is it, or how is it, what kind of experience did you have, how was the experience, you know. So that how can be many things, many different things. And whatever the experience may be, that is various, those are various way of experience of suchness or our true nature. In this way, we understand our everyday life. And in this realm, if there, if you have some question, I want you to ask me. No, in everyday life, there may be, you know, in everyday life, sometimes you can count your breathing, or you can be concentrated on what you do, or even you can count your breathing, you know. But when you are you are doing something by using your thinking mind, you know, you cannot do that. So at that time, you should be concentrated on what you do, what you think. whatever it is, you know, you should be concentrated on what you do. That is, you know, there is also some difference between the concentration of usual person and the concentration of Zen student. Usually, the concentration is just concentration, that's all. You know, it does not mean so much. But for us, you know, that concentration is more flexible. You know, that is why Dogen Zen used two words, you know, the words which means this is it, and the other hand, interrogative words, this is it, but it can be many things, you know. You can substitute it for some other experience or some other activity. Now, when you eat, you should be concentrated on eating. And when you, even in concentration, if you, if someone asks you to come, or, you know, if someone asks you to help him, then you can easily stop your practice and concentration on some particular thing, and you can concentrate on some other thing quite easily, and it is more flexible. And that is the meaning. That is why we say what. So, you know, just to concentrate it on one thing is not our way. The concentration should be one of the many ways of concentration. And each activity, each practice should include everything. So he says, if your practice does not include everything, that is not true practice. When your practice includes everything, whole universe maybe, then that is our practice. Whatever the practice may be, you know, if the practice includes all universe, you know, that is only one practice. The name is different, but actually it is one practice. For Zen students, Zen students understand concentration in this way. But for usual people, to be concentrated on one thing is does not just concentration. And that is his own practice. And it does not include some other's practice or some other practice of his own. Some other practice of him. Do you understand?
is all practice of suchness of equal value. For example, if you experience suchness with an attitude of gratitude, is that more valuable than if you don't?
If you don't, you know, your life will be will be life of peace by peace, you know. There's no conformity, and there will not be no universality, and your mind will not be in your mind will be always shaky.
You mean if we practice suchness but without an attitude of gratitude, this is the way it will be?
Gratitude, yeah, maybe so. Gratitude of including everything. Gratitude of unperturbability. Gratitude of perfect composure. Gratitude of practicing Zazen with Buddha. Buddha, you know, Buddha and you, your practice includes Buddha's practice. And Buddha's practice is your practice. So, maybe a great joy, more than joy. Now, do you have some other question?
I don't understand effortless effort. When I do effort, I have to use a lot of effort. Is there something like counting your breaths that will make that possible? While not doing Zazen, while in ordinary life.
In ordinary life? In Zazen, counting breathing helps a lot, but in ordinary life, I don't think it will help so much. Actually, you cannot count when you do some other things.
Is there something we can do to make the effortless?
What I'm saying is to be completely involved in what you do, to become one with what you do. Not in dualistic sense. What, you know, your experience is not yours. And you vanish into that experience, you know. That which exists is something objective and subjective, and no subjectivity or objectivity. But that which exists is the act or practice you do at that time. One of the problems in your Zazen is pain in your legs. But the pain is, you know, very helpful, you know, if you appreciate fully what is pain. It is best way to forget about yourself and pain mostly stronger than the idea of self. If you determine to, you know, endure the pain, it continues, you know, and your practice will naturally continue. Don't you think so? And it is, you know, as long as you feel, you know, you have legs here, I have legs here, which is painful, then it is impossible to endure the pain. When it is very painful, the only way is to shut your eyes. And try to become one with pain. That is only one way to endure the pain. So when you completely become with pain, and it is easy, you know, to become pain, you think it is difficult, but actually it is not so. It is much easier to become with pain than become with something else. Because it is so strong and so actual. So you cannot escape from it. If you try to move it, you know, that is another matter. But if you determine not to move it and endure the pain, the only way is to, you know, to give up my legs or some other legs. Or to give up the intention to cut off your legs. Keep it on your body and become one with it. With your whole body and mind, you should endure the pain. The only way is to forget yourself and to become one with pain.
One does that. I don't know how funny that. If one does that, so what?
So what?
Yeah.
You will experience the oneness of you and pain. That is very important in our practice. Because we cannot do that, we have various problems. The, you know, problem is what is the cause of problem? The cause of the problem is maybe so-called ignorance. What is ignorance? Ignorance is not to know that we have no self. So that is selflessness. the actual experience of selflessness and actual experience of to become one with whole being. Then you have no choice. No.
To become one with something
that's harder, to become one with something that's easier, like eating? To become one with eating? You think you become one with eating, but actually you are not. You know, when you like something, you know, you would be easily fooled by something. If something is which you don't like at all, you cannot be fooled by it until you become completely with one with it, you know. You cannot have composure in it. I know someone who had this experience fully, completely, and who forgot his body completely. You know, all of a sudden, all the pain stopped, and she lost her weight, you know. She didn't know who she was. And she forgot pain also. Because when there is only pain, that is not pain anymore. Because you are here, you know. And pain is here. That is pain. There's no difference between pain or, you know, pain or... comfort. It is, you know, an actual experience you may have if you are determined to do it. So, you know, the question like, so far, will vanish also. Oh, this is wonderful, you know. This is a way how to become, how to accomplish our practice, how to attain oneness, which is everything. Actually, you know, you can do it.
As that practice continues, I find things that I used to feel and experience, I don't feel and experience with the intensity, emotional intensity that I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like this is a direction possibly of losing maybe some emotional coloring. And mm-hmm. there are times when I don't experience at all. And it's rather frightening. And I've been wondering whether this is just a Western idea. We have a concept that to experience fully
mm-hmm.
is good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not feeling, and you have a new kind of almost a blankness,
mm-hmm.
and yet I do realize I see it, it seems that I see things a little more clearly than when I was emotionally involved
yeah.
in Is this a more of a Western difficulty, do you think, than you would, as a Japanese or Chinese, Oriental cultural conditioning? Or did you?
I don't think so. Actually, it is too, you know, deep experience, which is beyond, you know, cultural background. I don't think so, actually. It is too, you know, deep experience, which is beyond, you know, cultural background. Pain is, you know, pain for us. Same. Your pain, I don't think there's a difference between your pain and my pain.
But do you recognize this feeling of fear, of losing?
I hear many people say, you know, when you, when he experienced blankness of everything, you know, or experienced to sit at the top of the mountain, you know, where he commands various sights, various view of the world, you know, he feels quite lonely, lonesome feeling, and it is a kind of fear. For us too, Dogen Zenji also described this kind of sorrow, or, you know, yeah. Sorrow of enlightenment, you may say. Some enlightened person, or in mourning, he says, in mourning, such a person means, you know, maybe everyone, but everyone can be such a person, but when he becomes really such a person, who felt this, who have this experience, will feel some sorrow, which is different from the usual sorrow, but, you know, bottomless sorrow. But here also, he said, sorrow itself is actual experience of our true nature. So that sorrow is different from usual sorrow when we miss someone, or when we are going to die or something. It is completely, it is not the same kind, but it is actually a kind of, you know, longing. I think this kind of feeling, Buddhist has this kind of feeling. That is why he is, you know, always humorous. Like some comedian. But he himself is not so happy. he can make people, you know. Incomplete dasa. When his personal life is not like that. But he's happy. And his mind is almost always open and wide and deep and common, very common, very plain. He can be very fancy sometimes. Excuse me, do you have some other questions?
Well, sometimes I get very discouraged about my practice and my life, and I lose my energy and my determination, and I just feel bad. I feel bad in my body and in my mind. How should I approach this time?
First of all, you know, in your practice, you know, you should experience this kind of experience. That is, you know, the shortest cut. You cannot be always, you know, you cannot be always in such a state as you have in your practice. But if you experience this kind of experience, even for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, you know, you will have you will have some hope. You will know the direction, which way to go. And then, you know, whatever happens, that is the chance to go back to actual practice. Dogen Zenji, you know, described this kind of thing. Very well. He caught the story of the king of the highest heaven of desire world. The sixth heaven is the highest realm of the desire world. And he was the king of the sixth Yeah. And he was very much proud of his magic power. So he wanted to disturb Buddha's disciple by his magic power. But he thought it may be what will be the best way. At last he decided to disturb him by some in disguise of some beautiful lady and to give him something good. So he went in disguise of a beautiful lady to his disciple, and he presented beautiful what do you call necklace for the Buddhist disciple is not so good present, maybe. But the Buddha's disciple said, I don't want such a beautiful thing. Anyway, I receive it. Instead, I will present you something good too. And he offered something like Hawaiian lei, you know. So the king of the sixth world, had to leave. And later he saw what he saw the day which was given to him. And that was the day made of, you know, nasty human body. dead human body. And dead dog made of three things, and he was hanging. But he found it very difficult to get out of it. As he was the king of the sixth heaven world, cannot find anyone powerful enough to help him. So he had to go to form someone who is ruling the form world, which is above the sixth world. And he asked Brahman to get rid of it. But that Brahman said, I cannot do that. Maybe you better go to the disciple of Buddha, especially if you go to Mahamudgalyayana. He will get rid of it. But he was very reluctant to go to Buddha's disciple again. But he had to, so he went to him and asked him. And he helped, the disciple helped, and he could get rid of the leg. And at that time, Mukren, the Buddha's disciple, Mahamudgalyayana, gave him a poem, and it said, someone who fell, you know, on the ground should stand up by the ground. Someone who fell, you know, who stumbled by the ground. There must be some stone or something. Those who stumbled at the stone and fell on the stone should stand up by the stone, like this, you know. And for him, there is no reason to seek for some other aid. It means that you know, made a mistake with Buddha's disciple. So you should go to the Buddha's disciple and you should stand up. There I, by help of Buddha. It means that, you know, if you make some mistake, or whatever it is, if you happen to do something good or bad, if it is bad, if it is good, it will be a great help. And even though it is mistake or it is some difficulty, but when you determine to try to stand up, and when you stand up, you know, and there is no other place for you to stand up, the place you make mistake will be the place you find out. The way to stand up. So whatever you experience you have, that is the, you know, place where you should practice our way. And that practice is to stand up by it. To stand up by it is to become one with it, and to be free from it, and to accept it. And to find complete composure in it. Do you have some more questions?
Dogen said that you should continue to practice Dogen all of your life. That you should not stop. Suppose you get to a point where whether you are sitting or doing some other activity, you do everything the same way.
Yeah. Same way.
Yeah.
Same way, but where you do may be different, you know. But the point is the same. Because it is the same with, he says, that is it, this is it. And the way we practice is not always the same, you know. That form of practice may be different each time you practice. strictly speaking. So, it must be what or how.
You mean, although the Zazen looks the same, it is always different?
Although it looks very different, it is same.
Then if it is the same, why do Zazen?
If it is, you cannot have that kind of experience in some other practice, you will be easily fooled by something. If you, if you practice Zazen, even though you practice Zazen, you will find it's pretty difficult even to count. That is because you are always tend to be fooled by something. Why you give up counting it? Oh, this is useless. That is a kind of way.
So that we can keep the schedule and not have that fatigue. That's
all. I think, our schedule is made in that way. We are a little bit want of sleep, and we don't eat not much strong food, and we are under some worries, want of something. That is easier to practice our way rather than to have enough sleep and enough food. And sufficient
tiredness becomes part of the practice.
Yeah.
Something that will always be with
us. Yes. It's part of practice. And that will help, especially. If you are not, tired, you may know what will happen to you. Because you are a little bit tired, you can practice Zazen. Because you have not much, enjoyment in monastic life, you can sit. If you have various enjoyment in monastic life, you will never sit.
If I'm too tired in the morning, I can count my breath maybe to three. And then I fall asleep and I start over. And sometimes I can arrange my sleeping schedule so I can count to 10 or maybe even to 7. Should I push myself to the point where it's hard to count? Or should I maybe get a little more sleep so I can count to 10?
You have to do your best,
Sometimes there's choice.
No choice. The choice is enemy.
Is what?
In enemy of practice.
Choices seem to become harder at Katahara to me than they do down there.
We change our schedule so many times so that we can practice our way, you know. I don't know how many times we change our schedule. This is too much, this is not enough. It is a matter of 20 minutes or 10 minutes. Whether we should get up 20 minutes earlier or whether we should sleep more. That kind of thing is very, looks like very small things, but not so. Very important. One more question, please.
Roshi, what should we do when we can't stay away from Zazen?
Stay away?
When we can't stay away.
From what?
When we can't count beyond three, how can we encourage ourselves, as we said? Since we have to keep the schedule.
Don't ask me. If I, you know, say yes or no, you know, it will be, you would be entrapped by my words, you know. So I don't want to say yes or no for that. It is very hard for us, for me and for you, to practice our way. Thank you very much.